The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
There goes the neighborhood. It's Dave's Gone By time on WGBB AM 1240 and live streaming on davesgoneby.com. Brought to you by Berkshire Financial Group, sponsored by the Tandoor Grill in Rockville Center and Hewlett Minuteman Press in Hewlett. Dave's Gone By is an hour of talk radio and music hosted by yours truly, Dave Lefkowitz, in my Dave-like way, which means you're in for smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music. And tonight, a special guest. I mean, a really special guest. We're talking famous. We're talking talented. We're talking about an actual legend in popular music, Neil Sedaka. Betcha everyone listening over the age 30 knows at least five Neil Sedaka tunes. Everything from Breaking Up Is Hard to Do, to Calendar Girl, to Stairway to Heaven, to Run Samson Run, to Happy Birthday Sweet 16. He wrote all those, co-wrote them with Howard Greenfield, all within a five-year period. He was in that zone that the great songwriters get into, where they just churn them out, where it goes beyond mere inspiration into something almost supernatural. The Beatles had it, of course, their whole career. Dylan had it from 63 to 67. Hank Williams, John Denver, Elvis Costello, just these ridiculous spurts of creativity. Roll back the clock 44 years, and that was Neil Sedaka, one of the pop hitmakers of his generation. But it did not end in 1963. He had a comeback in the 1970s, and then a couple more hits in the 1980s. Think he's due for a third comeback? I'd say it was unlikely, except for the fact that he's already having it. The hottest selling single in America is sung by the American Idol guy, Clay Aiken, a song called Solitaire. But Aiken didn't write it. Reuben Studdard didn't write it. Britney's people didn't write it. No! It's a Neil Sedaka song from the late 1960s. Petula Clark did the first version, then Sedaka himself recorded it in 1972. And since then, Elvis covered it, Shirley Bassey, Andy Williams, Tom Jones, and now Clay Aiken. So here it is, the third act to Neil Sedaka's amazing career, which is why I'm walking on air having him on my show tonight. And I don't want to waste any time because aside from hearing from Neil and playing his songs, we've also got the weekly news gone by. So for gosh sakes, keep it here between now and 8 o'clock. I remind you that Dave's Gone By is rated DGB-13, our equivalent of PG-13, though we'll try and keep it clean for the kiddies tonight. The kiddies and the yiddies. I forgot to mention, you're also going to hear Neil Sedaka sing in a way that you've never heard before. Well, unless you were at his Seder table when he was five. But first, we start off with what else? A Sedaka song. I mentioned before that Clay Aiken's cover version of Solitaire is huge right now. Well, I don't have a copy of that, for reasons that will remain Clay Aiken, but I do have a pretty cool version of the tune performed by Sheryl Crow on a tribute album, not to Neil Sedaka, but to the Carpenters. So you get this real self-reflexive vibe. Her version of their version of his version of the same song. The song is Solitaire, the man is Neil, the me is Dave.
Lost his love, living in misery. Super Mortgage Man, won't you come to my aid?
What is it, little Bertha? Monthly payments got you down?
Oh, yes, I'm still paying 9% on my house.
Holy refi, little Bertha. Why not just open a vein?
I know, Super Mortgage Man. Not only that, my parents want to buy a condo, but there are so many ads and they get so confused.
I know, little Bertha. Old people are like that, but why did you summon me for my vacation?
What else could I do?
You don't need a superhero. Just call Berkshire Financial Group.
Berkey, who do you want?
Shut up, little Bertha. Berkshire Financial Group on the web at easymoney.com. Mortgages, home equity loans, refinancing. They do it right, they do it with care, and always with integrity, just like Super Mortgage Man.
But are they licensed?
Of course they are, you ninny. My banking departments in New York State, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
Gosh, they sound important. Maybe we don't qualify.
Humility does not become you, little Bertha. In fact, it renders you obnoxious. And if you'd only check easymoney.com, you'd see they specialize in tough cases, tailoring programs to fit your needs. You can even try their online mortgage calculator.
My parents don't know from computers.
Can they use a telephone?
Why, sure.
Well, then give them this number, 866-500-5055.
Is that long distance?
No, it's toll-free, okay? 866-500-5055.
Could you repeat that?
866-500-5055.
Golly gee, Super Mortgage Man.
Is there anything else before I get back to my luau?
What was that number again?
Get it! I don't know how Batman stands it.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, sponsored by Berkshire Financial Group at easymoney.com, helping to bring you the news gone by for this Thursday, May 27th, 2004. The news gone by is a look at events of the past week from a seditious, sedacious perspective. On the presidential front, just 2 days before he addressed the nation on the state of the war, George Bush lost a battle with his bicycle while mountain biking on his ranch. W. fell, suffering minor cuts and bruises. Unlike John Kerry, he did not blame the accident on a Secret Service agent. He said it was completely his own fault. He thought he was ready, but he should have waited another week before taking off the training wheels. In religious news, the world's first internet church has fallen victim to a plague of virtual demons. According to Reuters, everything from people logging on as Satan or unleashing torrents of expletives during sermons. The so-called Church of Fools was launched last week as an interactive Christian website. Parishioners take a 3D character who kneels at prayer, sings hymns, talks to his fellow brethren, or shouts, Hallelujah! The site gets more than 5,000 hits a day, but Deputy Editor Stephen Goddard admits, quote, "We've had problems from a small number of worshippers, which happens in any internet chat room, and we're taking seriously any incidents of individual harassment," unquote. No word from the Vatican on their assessment of this new church. Privately, however, cardinals have said that the cyber version of transubstantiation loses something when it's a small cube being munched by a Pac-Man, who then asks the Virgin Mary, "What are you wearing?" In TV news, well, you'd think, since there's already been one season of The Apprentice, the second crop of candidates would be a bit more savvy about their choices. Not so, apparently, judging by a stunt last Tuesday by one of the groups trying to fulfill a Trump task. According to the Daily News, Crest Toothpaste teamed up with Apprentice 2 for what was supposed to be a funky cross-promotion. The contestants were supposed to stand in Washington Square Park and hawk tubes of Crest Whitening Expressions Refreshing Vanilla Mint. With a name like that, they had their work cut out for them, but they also had the even less glamorous task of dealing with all the boxes and crates, empty and full, of the toothpaste. So they hired somebody, an overweight 51-year-old woman. They gave her $20 to fall off the empties and carry back full ones. The news reports that she worked her butt off for like an hour, muttering to herself, "I have to do a good job for Crest." And it was hard work, so arduous, in fact, that she started getting red in the face and kind of dazed. At one point, and this is a quote from the newspaper, I'm not making this up, and apparently NBC has all of this on tape, at one point, the woman tumbled over and began to roll around on the ground, chanting, "Crest! Crest! Crest!" over and over again. What an image, right? Anyway, finally, an off-duty EMT worker helped bring the woman into the Crest truck. But as soon as they sat her down, she started to shake, and they worried she was going into cardiac arrest. And then, she passed out cold, falling over onto the truck's passenger side. She awoke 3 minutes later, vomited, and then demanded, "Where's my money?" At which point the spy for the Trump Organization started hollering at the team and demanding to know who hired a fat, middle-aged psycho to do the job of a teenage stock boy. I don't know, I would have made the same mistake. You don't always know before you hire a day laborer whether they're going to be Superwoman or Squeaky Frome. Still, I do think the woman could be good for Procter & Gamble's image in a Bill Hung kind of a way. After all, she did keep shouting their name, "Crashed! Crashed!" And when she collapsed and started rolling around, she was taking a floor ride. Yes! Yes! Yes, yes, yes. The puns don't get worse than that, do they, folks? And that's why we ring the comedy bell. The bell that signals the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Every week we make a play on words so toothless, so gummed up, that we deserve a plaque. And we ring the comedy bell not to remind you to brush after meals or at least twice a year, a half hour before your dental appointment. No, we ring it to remind you that Dave's Gone By is the place for you to advertise. Listeners all over Long Island and around the country via the internet, they tune in every week to hear me make bad jokes, play music, talk to famous people. They like it, they pay attention, and they'll pay money to buy your product, event, or service. It isn't automatic. It takes time to build brand identity, to make people remember and choose you when they want what you're selling. But the only way to make that happen is to bring that message home in a way that's amusing, entertaining, honest, and, well, Dave-like. Advertising on Dave's Gone By works on three principles: repetition, humor, and repetition. It's also easy, quite inexpensive, and even fun. You can take out a 30-second ad, a whole minute, or sponsor a segment like Dave's Got Guests or Dave Remembers. So become part of the Dave's Gone By family with your message to my listeners. Call 516-295-1511 for all the information. 516-295-1511. You can even see the rate card on my website, davesgoneby.com. No tricks, no chicanery, it's all out in the open and just waiting for you to make it happen. And remember, for added value, we can mention you in our weekly emails or link to you on our website. DavesGoneBy.com is the website. 516-295-1511 is the phone number. And DavesGoneBy@AOL.com is our email. If you have any questions at all about how to advertise, how to sponsor, how to be part of the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Don't be good. Be punderful. Continuing the news gone by with legal news, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously this week that death by lethal injection could be considered cruel and unusual punishment in the case of one David Larry Nelson. Nelson was convicted of shooting a man in the back of the head back in 1978. He'd lost his final appeal and had eaten his final meal when the court ruled in his favor. It has nothing to do with guilt or innocence. Nelson simply said that his veins are so damaged from drug abuse, the executioners might have to cut his flesh or cause heart problems in the 30 seconds or so before the drugs took effect. Now, while there may be some truth to that, the solution also seems pretty simple. Let Nelson give himself the shot. After all, his veins didn't collapse in jail. They self-destructed when he was on the street. But he still somehow managed to shoot all manner of poisons into his arms then. So why not let him do it now? And just to make the whole scene even more familiar and comfortable for him, the guy who hands Nelson the syringe can wear a leather jacket, feathered hat, and a gold front tooth. In national pastime news, congratulations to Ed Cookie Jarvis. he won an eating contest at the Carnegie Deli last week. No, he wasn't scarfing down cookies. It was a pickle-eating competition. And Jarvis, standing 6'6" and weighing 300 pounds, packed in almost 3 pounds of pickles in 5 minutes. Jarvis already holds the trophy for pizza eating, but this required a different technique. One competitor told the Daily News he practiced by chewing 21 sticks of gum a day for a week. And then he would sort out the pickles and eat the heaviest first, since the competition was based on weight rather than numbers. For his part, the winner, Jarvis, said he was still smarting over losing the contest 2 years ago, quote, by the sweat of a pickle. This time he said, quote, I came up with a way to eat them that's easier on the jaw, unquote, which immediately earned him a book deal from Harvey Fierstein. In celebrity news, well, with all these famous folks recently getting married and having babies, let's not forget that there are still celebrities living up to, or down to, their Hollywood reputations. Case in point, Snoop Doggy Dogg, rapper and TV personality, whose 7-year marriage to Shante Broadus came to an end this week, or as the Associated Press so brilliantly put it, Snoop Dogg is getting a divisal. The breakup is blamed on the old reliable irreconcilable differences, which in this case just might include the fact that Snoop was producing and hosting porn videos shot in his own backyard. He was also living a pimp lifestyle, which seemed to include booze, pot, and enough booty to refloat the Lusitania. Even so, Snoop is seeking joint custody of his 3 children with Shante. One imagines it will be an uphill battle, not helped by this letter to his children that was intercepted by court deputies. I mean, I think Snoop's heart is in the right place, but there's a certain tone to the letter that, well, why don't you decide for yourself? I'll read a little of it. This is from Snoop Dogg to his 3 young kids, Corday, Cordell, and Corey. My dear Chin, once upon a time, a long, long, long time ago, your mother and I were in love. And I mean the big-ass L-U-V. But sometimes people change a little bit. It happens slow, you know, like taking a long, slow shizzle when you're constipated. And then before you know it, you turn around and a hot chicken mama with a monkey behind and a sweet poon tizzle done be a fat old broad with a mouth on her like George Wallace. I'm not saying your mama got ugly, but she's so fat she gets stuck in her dreams. You know what I'm saying? She's so fat she get on the skin every morning and say, bitch, what I ever do to you? I'm not saying she got homely, but the elephant man paid money to see her. And she's so old, her birthday expired. She's so old, she farts mummy dust. She's so old, she babysat Methuselah. So sometimes, kids, when that other person gets so old and ugly, and let's not forget fat, it's time to leave that person and find some new trim, if you know what I'm saying. So she's going to be moving out and finding a new place to hang her sagging mammarizzles. And, she's going to take y'all with her because, you know, I'm a busy guy with a music empire and a record career, and your mama's just a blood-sucking tick swinging for my testizzles. But we're working on a way that she can have you half the time, and I can have you the other half the time, and maybe your grammy can have you the other half the time. And we both want you to know that, you know, just looking at your mama makes her daddy want to blow chunks. None of this has anything to do with you. It ain't your fault. You ain't done nothing wrong. And we both still love you just as much as we did when we conceived you on heroin. Now, you're going to read about all this in the newspapers. Some made-up bullshizzle about your daddy and whores, your daddy and X-rated movies, your daddy and crazy drug-fueled orgies with surgically enhanced white bitches. But you know your daddy. You know what's in my heart. And you know I never do any of this stuff unless I was really, really drunk. Well, that's all I have to say about this, my 3 little angels. Daddy's gonna miss you for a while, but he get over it. All my love, Yo Snoop Doggy Daddy. And that's the news gone by for May 27th, 2004. Please send your comments, opinions, and crash to Dave's Gone By. P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Dave's Gone By. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. You can also email me, davesgoneby@aol.com. We reserve the right to read any comments you make on the air, name withheld upon request. So send me suggestions, opinions, negative impressions, whatever you feel. But please, no shizzles, and don't call me Nizzle. Back with Neil Sedizzle, right after Nizzle.
In an ideal world, Dave's Gone By would play 24-7, but I need my beauty sleep. Should you turn WGBB off when I'm not on? No way! Here are three other shows you should listen to. Long Island's Dating, an advice and interview program for singles hosted by Bonnie D. Graham, kicking off the weekend Friday nights at 6. The Mr. Redman Music Show, independent Long Island musicians and bands. Redman plays them first and you get to vote. Saturday nights at 7:30, and Sunday nights it's Your World with Joe Salzone, politics and current events from a conservative but open-minded perspective. Sunday nights at 7. So you see, if it can't be all Dave all the time, it can still be radio worth listening to. Long Island's Dating, Fridays at 6, Mr. Redman, Saturdays, 7:30 to 9, and of course, Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 7. And during the week, all sorts of Chinese people.
Oh my God, the wedding is next month. We need flyers, invitations, booklets. Irving, we are screwed.
No, we're not, Pearl. We'll just go to Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Hewlett Minuteman? What can they do?
Printing, engraving.
Really?
Letterhead, souvenirs.
Wonderful! Are they still at 1315 Broadway in Hewlett?
Yup, 516-569-5577.
Well, stop dawdling, let's go!
Yes, dear. Day after the wedding, I kill her.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240WGBB.com. And Dave's got guests, a really special guest. I'm so excited, an actually incredibly famous guest, which is just thrilling to me. And I actually did a birthday tribute to this man a couple of weeks ago when he turned the big 6-5 and spoke about him and played a little music. But now I actually have him on the phone talking to me for real. I'm so excited. The one and only Neil Sedaka. Welcome, Neil.
Thank you, Dave. Nice introduction. Except one of the pitfalls of being a celebrity is everybody knows your age.
Well, it was not a secret. I mean, I hope you don't mind.
Not at all. I'm happy to be still around.
And you don't look a day over 50. So.
Me and Dick Clark, we say the same.
So, first of all, things are good. I mean, you're still as busy as ever. And you have a relatively new CD out. So why don't we start with that?
Yes. I have a CD of Yiddish songs. It's called Brighton Beach Memories, Sedaka Sings Yiddish. And these were the songs that I heard growing up in Brighton Beach, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a great love of these songs, and I will be doing Carnegie Hall June the 3rd with the Klezmatics. And it is a benefit concert for the Folksbeen Jewish Theater of New York City.
They're like 90-something years old at this point, aren't they? Or something like that, yeah.
That's correct. And I think that I'm very thrilled with it, and I've gotten a great reaction from all of the country.
That's marvelous. Let me ask you, were you of a particularly Jewish upbringing?
Well, I was bar mitzvahed, but and I went for the high holy days to synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was a Galiciana. My father was a Sephardic Jew.
Oh, wow.
His parents came from Istanbul, Turkey, and moved to New York around 1910. So I remember these songs with fond memories. And even Claire Barry will be singing a song with me at June 3rd at Carnegie Hall from the Barry sisters.
No offense, I didn't realize one of them or both are still, you know, with us. That's pretty amazing.
Claire is still with us, yes.
Might as well also tell, one of the songs on the CD is My Yiddish Mama,
mm-hmm.
one of the more famous ones. And you have a story about that goes back oh gosh, 40-odd years to your first appearance, was it, on Ed Sullivan?
Yes, I was on Ed Sullivan. I believe it was 1961. And I did Calendar Girl, of course, was a hit on the, at the time. And I wanted to do Yiddish Mama. And during the dress rehearsal, Ed Sullivan asked that I delete it from the program. And I was very upset. And I had a big mouth manager who took it up with the powers that be. And he finally convinced them that I do Yiddish Mama on the Ed Sullivan Show, and it was had a great response.
What do you think Sullivan was afraid of? Did he literally say it's too Jewish, it won't play, or what
well,
was the...
Well, I think he went all over the country, and he was thinking of Fred and Marge from Kansas City, and he was thinking of his mainstream audience. But, you know, I am very proud of where I come from, and I'm proud of my roots. And I'm so glad that it was on. But I never got a chance to record Yiddish until just a few months ago with this CD.
Of things I should be thankful for, I've had a goodly share. And as I sit here in the comfort of a cozy chair, my fancy takes me to a humble East Side tenement, three flights up in the rear to where my childhood days were spent. It wasn't much like paradise, but mid the dirt and all, there sat the sweetest angel, one that I fondly call a Yiddish mama. Es gibt nicht besser in der Welt a Yiddish mama. Oy baby, bitte, wenn sie fällt, wie schön und blitzig ist in Heus, wenn die Mamas du. Wie treurig findest der Welt, wenn Gott nimmt dir auf eulem Habu in Wasser und Feier. Wollt sie gelaufen vor ihr Kind, nicht halten ihr Teil, das ist gewiss der größte Sinn. Oi, wie glücklich und reich ist der Mensch, wo's hat, als er schöne Matune geschenkt in Gott. Nur ein altischke jiddische Mama, Mama, Mama of mine. My jiddische Mama, I need her more than ever now. My Yiddish mama, I'd love to kiss her wrinkled brow. I long to hold her hand once more, as in days gone by, and ask her to forgive me for things I did that made her cry. How few were her pleasures, she never cared for fashion style. Her jewels and her treasures, she found them in her baby smile. Oh, I know what I am today to
that dear little lady, so old and gray. To that wonderful Yiddish mama.
Yeah, it's on, by the way, Sameach Music Records. I guess it's they've done a lot of stuff in the Jewish field. I have not heard of them before. But
yes,
and
we sell it on the internet on my webpage, neilsedaka.com. And I've been touring all over the country, and we sell it in the concerts as well.
Great. Let's roll back the clock a little bit, again, back to the beginning, moving away from the new CD to some of the great hits that you've had over the years, and especially coming up. First question that I had was, I mean, people don't realize that you co-wrote so many of those songs with a fellow named Howie Greenfield.
I was 13 when I started writing songs, and Howie Greenfield was 16 years old. I miss him terribly. He's passed on in the 80s.
Oh, okay.
But we had written over 500 songs together, including Love Will Keep Us Together, The Hungry Years, Calendar Girl, oh my goodness, so many songs together. Happy Birthday, Sweet 16, Breaking Up Is Hard to Do.
Do you remember the first song you wrote together?
Oh, it was a bad one.
Oh, always.
We were only 13 and 16 years old. But we got better as we went along, and I was one of the first, we were one of the first teams to go to the Brill Building in New York City and write for the Brill Building.
What was that like, working in that atmosphere?
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. It was writing songs from 10 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon, 5 days a week. It was a wonderful time in music. It was real teenage music, and it was doo-wop music, and I had a doo-wop group, actually, called The Tokens.
Not related to The Tokens who did The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
The same group, yes.
Oh.
I started The Tokens, and
oh,
then I went on to do a solo career, and they went on to do The Lion Sleeps.
I didn't realize. Oh, that's interesting. That's amazing. Now, again, during the Brill Building period, some of the folks, did you ever get a chance to work with people like Carole King?
I brought Carole King into the Brill Building. She was a girlfriend of mine back in Brooklyn, New York.
You dated, actually, or just girlfriend as in friend?
We were dating.
Oh.
Her name was Carole Klein then.
Uh-huh.
And there were other great writers in the beginning of the Brill Building, Neil Diamond, who lived across the street from me, Paul Simon, Tony Orlando, Barry Mann, Mort Schumann.
Did you ever co-write with any of these other people?
Or only with Howie Greenfield
and
Phil Cody and Carol Bayer-Sager. Those were my only co-writers, and I'm happy to say the last 20 years I've been writing my own lyrics and love doing that.
Kind of wondering also, as far as other folks that you've worked with, did you ever get to work with Phil Spector?
No, I did not.
Did you know him, though? Was he part of that whole
scene? I met him on several occasions, yes. My stuff was happy stuff. You know, the songs were very happy. People always asked, were you smiling during the recording sessions? I was. You know, Happy Birthday, Sweet 16, and the original Stairway to Heaven, and Calendar Girl, we're all very happy, a little naive perhaps, but you can understand all the lyrics, and you can you can dance to it.
Climb up, way up high. Climb up, way up high. Climb up, way up high. Wella, 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 heavenly angel, I want you for my I'm going.
Question for you. When the Beatles and the Stones came, did something sink in your heart and you said, oh no, that's sort of the end? Or did it overtake you by surprise and then you looked around and it was 1965 and the bottom had dropped out without you realizing it necessarily?
The Beatlemania came in 63 and people like myself were being replaced by the British invasion. I wrote for 10 years for other artists. I wrote for Andy Williams, Johnny Mathis, Elvis Presley.
What song did Elvis cover?
Elvis did Solitaire.
Wow, okay.
Yes, and...
did you meet him?
I met him, yes, at the Las Vegas Hilton. He invited my wife and I backstage, and we got to see his show. And I'm happy to say that Solitaire has been re-recorded 31 years later by the magnificent voice of Clay Aiken, from American Idol, and his record is number one for the 8th straight week in Billboard magazine.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And speaking of, okay, so the ups and downs in the industry, there was that period when you were writing for other people and your own stuff was kind of, you know, not so much out there with your face on it, and then Elton John happened. I mean, how did that come about?
Elton was a good friend. He was a fan of my old recordings, my old career. And we met in London. He was starting a record company called Rocket Records. And he asked if I wanted to join the label. Of course, I was over the moon.
Right, yeah.
And we put out an album called Sadak Is Back, which brought me back after 11 years of absence.
Mm-hmm.
And on it was Laughter in the Rain, which was the number one record in 1975.
And there was also Bad Blood, I think, was a big...
Bad Blood, Love Will Keep Us Together... The Immigrant, That's When the Music Takes Me, and the remake of Breaking Up Is Hard to Do. You know, I redid it as a slow ballad.
Of course, yeah. I do have to ask about the Captain and Tennille hit. When you, the first time you heard it, was it just like, oh my God, I'm going to be very famous and very, very, very rich again? Or was it just, oh, this is really good, I hope it becomes a hit?
It was sent to me in the mail. I was living in London with my family. And I put it on the turntable, in those days, 45 RPM, and I almost fell off the chair. It was a perfect pop record.
Yeah.
I had never heard of the group. It was their first debut record on A&M, and I received my first Grammy for Love Will Keep Us Together.
Oh.
It was the biggest record of the year.
Was the syncopation theirs or yours, that piano...
That was mine.
That was, so that did come from you, even that
yes,
kind of
I did
to it.
I actually recorded it first on an album, Sadak Is Back, and the Captain and Tennille heard my version and did a cover record.
Wow. And, okay, now moving into the current times, you're, of course, putting out the Yiddish songs that you did not write the lyrics for, but you're still writing your own songs, too.
Absolutely. I have a new record of a new collection of songs called The Show Goes On,
mm-hmm.
that we sell on neilsedaka.com. And I am very proud of the fact that June the 10th, I am being honored at the Songwriters Hall of Fame. They are giving me the Lifetime Achievement Award. It's the Sammy Kahn Lifetime Achievement Award, and I'm very thrilled at that.
Well, Lord knows, you certainly deserve it. I do have to ask, this is, I mean, you started writing songs in the late 50s, and that's, if my timeline is correct. After all these years, when you sit down at the piano, or maybe also do a guitar, how do you come up with something new to say or a new song, and what do you pull from the air to write about?
It's very difficult. So you become more picky, and that blank page in front of you can be very frightening. What do I do?
Yeah.
I sit at the piano. I'm inspired by other singers. Usual vocal style. I listen to other singers. I'm inspired by vocal styles. And I will write about whatever is happening in my life, whatever is happening around me, the culture of the time. And you become more picky because you want to develop and grow. You want to write something that you haven't written before.
Right.
And after 1,000 songs, it becomes more difficult. But, that's what keeps the creative mind going. You always have to be up at bat, and you always have to top yourself.
Do you prefer to get lost in the studio and mixing and then overlays and things like that? Or do you have a more thing like, let's try and lay it down, and then we'll sweeten it later, put a couple of things in, but let's really get it like in one or two takes, and boom.
I am very quick. I take the second or third take. I'm very spontaneous because I'm a live performer. So, Dave, I like to do it quickly, and then I sit with an engineer, and we go over it with the musicians and the layering and the mixing.
Terrific. Just one or two quick more questions, because I know you do have to leave us, but if there's a song that you've written over all these years that you think might be the one lasting one or your favorite, what would it be?
I would say, The Laughter in the Rain and Solitaire. Laughter in the Rain because it brought me back after 11 years of being off the charts and out of the business, and Solitaire because it has been recorded by so many people, and now Clay Aiken having a tremendous smash with it. And having a young singer with that incredible voice doing it is quite something.
All right. Let's just remind folks, again, that the CD that you're pushing on June 3rd, as for the Folks Bina benefit. Folks Bina, by the way, is a Yiddish theater. They have English translation by a headset, but all the plays are done in spoken Yiddish. Sometimes they're new, sometimes they're old. And the benefit is where?
At Carnegie Hall.
On June 3rd, your CD, Neil Sedaka Sings Yiddish Brighton Beach Memories. And just remind people a couple of the song titles so they know.
Oh, By Mir Bist Du Schein, Via Hinselis Gain, Eishes Chayil, oh my goodness.
Sena, Ich Hob Dich Zu, I haven't heard of that one.
Lieb,
yeah. Ochichornia,
Belt My Shtetele Belt.
And people don't even know. You do the theme from Exodus. I don't think people knew it had lyrics.
You know who wrote that?
I thought Ferranti and Teicher, but I guess not.
You won't believe. Pat Boone wrote the English lyric to Exodus.
Oh, my God.
Nobody knows that. It's a beautiful lyric.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. Though I am just a man, when you are by
my side. With the help of God, I know I can be strong to make this land our home. If I must fight, I'll fight to make this land our home. Until
get the CD, and they'll play it, and they'll know. So they can get it at neilsedaka.com. It's on Sameach Records, Sameach Music. And anything else you just want to say to folks?
I'm looking forward to seeing all the fans in the coming months.
Terrific. Thank you so much for coming
to
the neighborhood. Have a great day.
My pleasure, Dave.
Shalom.
Shalom.
You know who's never eaten at the Tandoor Grill? Osama bin Laden. And you want to know why? Two reasons. One, he's an idiot. He doesn't realize how tasty their appetizers, main courses, and Indian breads can be. Two, he must be living in a cave, because for months I've been telling people 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center with a menu at TandoorGrill.com. Osama doesn't even know you can get 10% off by mentioning Dave's Gone By. And you know what? Don't even tell him about the Tandoor Grill. He'll never know it's India-licious. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By as we finish up the 78th episode of this radio program. Lots of people to thank on this one. Gotta start with our sponsors, of course, Berkshire Financial Group, those mighty masters of mortgages located at easymoney.com. Hewlett Minuteman Press, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, Long Island. They do great work at reasonable rates, and they do pretty much everything. It isn't just a Xerox place. It really is a one-stop business shop. Monday through Friday, 516-569-5577. And the Tandoor Grill, Indian food at its best, right here on the south shore of Long Island. I was just there twice in the past week. I had their lunch buffet, which for $6.95 rivals pretty much any other lunch you're going to get. It was tandoori chicken, chicken korma, vegetarian shag paneer with spinach and cheese. And please, two things I want you to remember about this place. The first is that sometimes Indian food can be spicy. Too spicy, maybe, for some American palates. But it doesn't have to be. They don't make it that spicy here, and if you want it mild, just say so. They can make vindaloo as mellow as a bucket of oatmeal.
Whoa, that's appetizing. But you know what I mean. You can get what you want your way in a meal that will not disappoint. So visit the Tondra Grill, right on Sunrise Highway, opposite the Rockville Center train station, open 7 days a week, lunch and dinner. Mention this program, mention Dave's Gone By, and you get 10% off the bill. Because the owners want to know that their advertising is working. So if you tell them, hey, I heard about this place on Dave's Gone By, Dave said I can get 10% off, believe me, they couldn't be happier. You'll get a break, I'll get feedback, the soldiers in Iraq will break into a line dance. So many good things will happen. See the menu at TondoraGrill.com, not Tandoori, Tandoor. Leave off the last I for Indialicious. And I've got yet another new sponsor coming in. It's for web hosting, cheap and good, WebsiteUnited.com. Look for them to join the neighborhood in mid-June. And thank you also to the fine hosts of other programs on WGBB, Bonnie D. Graham, hosting Long Island's Dating Friday nights at 6, the Mr. Redman Music Show, independent local bands, Saturday night, 7:30 to 9, and right after that, Mikey and Jimmy. Maybe they're the next Opie and Anthony, maybe the next Morning Zoo. Say you heard them here first on WGBB, Mikey and Jimmy, Saturdays 9 to 10. And finally, last but never least, Joe Salzone. Big thank you to Engineer Joe for having me on his program last week, and also playing a repeat of Dave's Gone By at another time slot. He sometimes does that, either Mondays at 7, or more likely Sunday nights at 9. If another program is preempted, he'll play the most recent Dave's Gone By, for which I am abundantly, almost sickeningly grateful. But if you want to hear Joe's weekly show, Sunday night at 7 is the time to do it. Your World with Joe Salzone, conservative politics, sometimes too right-wing for my taste, but also with a good sense of humor and a willingness to listen to all sides that you're not going to get from an O'Reilly or a Limbaugh. So there you have it. Lots of reasons to listen to WGBB when I'm not on. And when you're not listening to WGBB, do you know what you should be listening to? Neil Sedaka's new album, of course, Brighton Beach Memories, on the Sameach label. Enormous thanks to Mr. S. for being my guest in the neighborhood tonight. He was sweet, he was funny, he was a mensch. And speaking of menschlichkeit, let me also put in a word for Beck Lee. He is the publicist of the Carnegie Hall concert next Thursday, June 3rd, featuring Neil Sedaka and the Klezmatics, a ganze Welt of Yiddish music, all to benefit the Volksbühne Yiddish Theater, a true American treasure. Tickets start at just $50, and you can get them by calling 1-800-9-YIDDISH, toll-free, 1-800-9-YIDDISH, or go to neilsedaka.com for more information. So thank you to both Neil Sedaka and Beck Lee for making the interview happen. And for a copy of this program on CD or cassette, you know what to do. Just send a check or money order to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. CDs are $14. Cassettes are $12. That includes postage. And if you throw in an extra dollar, I'll personally autograph the cover. Okay, have we done all our thank yous? No! I still have to thank my beloved wife, Joyce, for all the warmth and joy she brings to my life. And I want to pre-thank two other people. A guy named Soda, yes, that's his name, and his friend Jordan Peer. Together, they make up a rock duo called One Last November. And I mentioned this last week. I'd never heard of them. In fact, they're a brand new group. Soda had been in another band called His Mighty Robot, which is still together, but this is a different thing, a very moody, acoustical grunge kind of thing. You might like it, you might not, but the guys seem really charming and fun. And they were persistent, in a good way, about getting on my show. So, they are my guests in the neighborhood next week, June 3rd. If you're not going to be at the Neil Sedaka concert, then by all means, tune in to me. And One Last November, they'll play a couple of songs live, plus a track or two off their self-titled EP. Should be a good time. That's next Thursday night at 7, the 79th episode of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. You mean everything to me. and gone by.
You are the answer to my lonely prayer. You are an angel from above. I was so lonely till you came.
Hold me close.